Growing Up, our brand new resource for churches and parents, is out now! Woohoo! With Sunday school sessions, training videos, podcast episodes for parents, and one for the whole family. All there to help our children navigate the confusion, filter the messages they're surrounded by, and hear God's good story. All our Growing Up resources point to the Heavenly Father who loves our children even more than we do and has the answer to their biggest questions about who they are and how to live. Together, as families and churches, we can support each other to start good conversations about bodies, gender, and marriage, so our children can grow up hearing God's good story. Head over to the website faithinkids.org and find out all the details about Growing Up.
Shepherd who knows his sheep by name, and that knowing us by name isn't just I've got a kind of a fact file on you, or you're somewhere in a rota or somewhere in a register. That he knows us, he knows the things that make us laugh and make us cry, the things that we're worried about, the things that are keeping us up at night. And that's the Jesus we want to introduce people to week after week on a Tuesday morning, to say, you know, this is who we want you to know. This is how amazing he is. And to have people kind of feel overwhelmed with that sense of love.
Hello, this is the Faith in Parents podcast. The sun is shining. The Lord is on his throne. It's great to be in your ears. It's great to be on your walk. Thanks for encouraging us that people are still listening, people are still enjoying it. We love to hear about people laughing and crying. We don't mind which you do today. Amy, how are you? What's news?
Good morning. I'm great. Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you're listening. Ed, it's a blue sky day because today we're doing the blue sky adventuring into the wonderful world that is toddler groups. We're thinking about toddler groups today, and to help us explore the wonderful world of toddler groups, we have the lovely Helen and Anna. I'm going to start with Anna. Anna, say hello, introduce yourself, tell us all about you.
Hello, I'm Anna Watkin. I work in Derby for a church called St Giles Church, where I've been for just 1 year, almost exactly 1 year. I'm the women and children's worker there, and I think my job is the best job in the world, because I get to spend my whole life telling children and families about Jesus, which I think is amazing.
We agree, Anna, we agree. And it's a little bit like a reunion this morning, because we also have the lovely Helen, and now Anna and Helen used to run a toddler group together. Helen has carried on the charge. Helen, tell us about you and where you are.
Good morning. Yes, I'm Helen. I'm in Buxton, which is where Anna used to be, but she has moved on. And yes, involved in Trinity Church Buxton here, where I help with the toddler group and many other things. Husband's a minister here, so busy with lots of things at church. And family with three kids, two of them grown up now, one of them in year seven. So busy life here.
And Helen, can I just check that you are a normal toddler group leader? So I would like to ask the question, what is the best snack currently on offer in your toddler group?
I think possibly the best one, favourite one at the moment, is cheese and raisins. We have requests for cheese.
Wow. Just big chunks of cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, chunks of cheese. Amazing.
With some raisins, maybe some breadsticks to go alongside.
I love it.
Now, it's absolutely clear that one of the most vociferous issues in any toddler group is, should you cut up your grapes? Do you serve grapes? And how much sugar do the snacks have? And that's because we're all about toddler groups this morning, which can feel like something of a departure, because normally it's more squarely about parenting. But toddler groups are such an unbelievably widespread part of parenting. that we thought it was definitely time to focus on them. I'm just going to give you some stats about them. I'm going to get excited. Amy will get cross. Let's just keep going with it.
It's all right. We've already done snacks, so you can do some stats.
Ah, nice, Amy. 74% of parents of under fives have contact with a church-run toddler group. That is three quarters of British under fives have connection with a church through toddler groups. And 85% of families of under fives who come say they come regularly. So in summary, everyone is coming to a church-run toddler group, and most of those who come will not stop coming. And finally, more than half of those guests who aren't Christians who come say it's helped them to explore faith. So I just want to say it again. Church toddler groups honestly are doing something that no other part of our churches are doing. The majority of our under fives are coming. They keep coming, and their parents are listening to everything we give them about Jesus. And for more than half, they're saying they're making progress in faith. It is an unbelievable opportunity. So dismiss church-run toddler groups at your peril. They are the future of British church-going outreach to our communities.
Okay, that was the section we like to call Ed Says Important Numbers Out Loud. And the conclusion is evangelistic powerhouse, overlook it at your peril. Yes?
That's absolutely right. And I made sure, if you don't mind me making some sort of gender-specific comment, I wanted to make sure the man who said that, because it is mostly faithful, godly women running these. I've been part of a dad's toddler group. They do exist. They're absolutely fantastic. I'm going to wave the flag for them all day. But ours was only monthly because men just cannot keep it going week by week. Whereas it's mostly women who are shifting huge amounts of primary coloured plastic, who are hoovering and mopping endlessly, who are home baking cakes. I just want to quickly do a shout out for that amazing mum who said to me, "I bake the best cakes for the toddler group because Jesus deserves my best."
Oh,
we need more of them in our lives.
I want to give a shout out to Margie, who made scones, jam and cream, not John Scam and Cream, every week for our toddler group. She's a wonder. She is a wonder.
Anna, could you just tell us then, how did you get involved in this, in a toddler group? Just tell us a story of you and a toddler group.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, hearing those stats and just kind of the absolute wonderful potential that there is. I mean, I would say when we started Stay and Play, I had zero experience with toddler groups at all. I'm not a mum, so I'd never been to a toddler group as a mum, and I had never run a toddler group. I'd maybe attended a couple in the past with kind of friends of friends' kids. So yeah, it was quite an adventure and a start. And at the time at Trinity Church, we had very few families who had any toddler-aged children, any babies. But in the middle of Buxton, there is the Pavilion Gardens, and I would spend a lot of time walking in the Pavilion Gardens, which are beautiful and stunning and highly recommend. But all the time I go out there, I would see so many families with babies in prams and toddlers playing on swings, and just look at and think, there are all these people in our town who are not having a chance, as far as I know, to hear anything about Jesus. And wouldn't it be amazing if they did? So it was sort of born out of the seeing, you know, a need out there and seeing all these people every day that I would have loved to have kind of had conversations with and not having kind of any chance to. So we didn't have a toddler group at the time. So I got together a small team of people. I think the first day there was only four of us, and we just started talking and praying together. And one of the big things we actually spent a lot of time at the start was working out what we wanted to be about as a toddler group. We obviously did get into lists of toys and, you know, spreadsheets and rotas and all of that. But we focused first of all on like what we thought we could do. I did visit a couple of other toddler groups just to get more ideas. And then, so that was back in, it was sort of, I think it was 2019, and then COVID hit. So we were due to start in spring 2020 and then couldn't. But in that gap between, you know, being on pause, Helen arrived with so much creativity and wisdom. So it was, yeah, it was amazing. And then we started later, well, as soon as we were able to in 2021. And amazingly, we're kind of full almost immediately with families that, who were all non-church families, all non-Christian families, who had heard about us through word of mouth and through stuff we were doing on social media, who came and filled the room. And yeah, and that was it, really.
Helen, your children are now older, so secondary school and above. Did you go to a toddler group when they were littlies?
Yes, I did. So the church that we were at the time ran a toddler group that I mostly went along to as a punter, but eventually sort of got drafted in to help with crafts and telling the stories occasionally. And that was a really wonderful part of the week for me to go along and to meet with other parents who were in the same sort of stage of life. It's tough work having young children, babies and toddlers. There's a lot of sleep deprivation. There's a lot of anxiety around, am I doing the right thing? Things are constantly changing because you just get yourself into a routine or a rhythm and feel you know what you're doing, and then they get older and things change. So being in that sort of environment was a really helpful thing for me. And also just getting to know people, because it can, for some people, that stage of life can be quite isolating. If you're not getting out to groups and things, it can feel quite lonely. So it was a really good opportunity to meet up with other people as well. And to be in a place where the children loved it. They had great fun. I felt that they were safe and were being loved, because the people that were running the group really loved the people that came and would... Yeah, it was just a really blessed time, really. And the kids loved it too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, Anna, you are the person who is on the church team and expected to perhaps run such things and work out what to do. But I also think there is a big thing that you've just sort of skimmed over as you've talked about it in, I'm not a mum, I've not been to a toddler group, and now I'm running one. And now I remember being in that boat and just it being such a huge hurdle, because you just feel like, who am I to talk to these mums, to suggest what activities to do? Can you just give me a little bit of help in understanding that? And like, how did you get over that hurdle? Because that can be a really big one.
Oh, it was massive. I mean, there was so much I didn't really know that I was just sort of trying to feel my way with. Like, I don't think I'd twigged for it at first. You know, you even had to cut up grapes, like you say, Edda. I didn't know that was a thing at first, that was something we were supposed to do. I think I definitely was worried about mums coming and feeling like, you know, every week I would be asked, I guess, oh, you know, which children are yours? And have to think, oh, I'm not here with a child. And then they look at you.
You have to say, Anna, all of them. All of them.
Yes, all of the children. But I think the thing that made a massive difference was finding other mums in the church, whether they were mums with kind of younger children or mums with children who'd grown up, and talking to them about what helped them with toddler groups, what made a difference to them. And also starting to talk to some of the other mums that we kind of had contact with, and hearing them particularly talking about other groups they'd been to where they arrived and, you know, the groups were lovely in lots of ways, but nobody talked to them. And I thought, actually, that's the thing that I know I can do, and I know that we as a team can do. I might not know everything or much at all about parenting, but I can sit and chat to people and make sure that nobody leaves the group having not had a chance to talk to somebody.
And I think there's that other thing, isn't there? That there's that moment that, so I've also been the parent that comes in the room with the child, and you also feel like a fraud in the room, because clearly you imagine that everybody else in the room knows what they're doing as an experienced parent, and you're going to be the one who, you know, whose kid has a meltdown and handles it badly, or, you know, doesn't change the nappy quickly enough, or isn't at the right stage of feeds or sleeping as people have the conversations. And there can just be that moment, can't there, when you then realise that both of us feel like frauds. Maybe we could be friends.
And it's like, wow.
And I think being able to like say to someone, oh, tell me like how's like being a parent for you? I mean, I think that's the big thing, isn't it? That most people, there are some, you know, experiences that are the same, but there are lots that are massively different. And being able to just kind of say to someone, oh, what's it like for you? And ask questions and find things out. But yeah, not know lots of things together, I think is a great thing.
And a toddler group, I do believe to be a hard grind ministry. And, you know, most ministries are, you know, in that you've just got to pitch up and you're waiting for the Spirit to go to work. You're praying for that to happen. But also, for so many people, a toddler group might not even have a purpose. And I kind of don't want to be judgmental about that. It's great just to offer people a chance to sit and to drink a coffee and to have some company. Could you tell us what your prayer is for your group? You know, when you gather for that 2 minutes before the hordes arrive, what is it you're praying for? What is it you're hoping for?
My big prayer, I think as a group, as a team, our big prayer right from the start was that we wanted Jesus to be right at the heart of everything that we do, that it would be a group where people would have the opportunity to have a glimpse of who Jesus is and to have a bit of a glimpse into his people, in his community, to be a sort of open door, if you like, to kind of our church family. And that is a community that's full of love as well. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 10, where he talks about being the shepherd who knows his sheep by name. And that knowing us by name isn't just I've got a kind of a fact file on you, or you're somewhere in a rota or somewhere in a register. That he knows us. He knows the things that make us laugh and make us cry, the things that we're worried about, the things that are keeping us up at night. And that's the Jesus we want to introduce people to week after week on a Tuesday morning, to say, you know, this is who we want you to know. This is how amazing he is. And to have people kind of feel overwhelmed with that sense of love. There was a mum who I remember a couple of years ago who came on a Tuesday morning, and I just kind of said, oh, how's your week been? And she started crying and just kind of said how actually the week had been horrible, and work in particular had been really, really hard. And that was a moment where I just thought, actually, this feels like a community where we're able to be honest with each other, where we're able to say, these are the things that I'm finding hard. These are the things that are keeping me up at night. And the fact that she could just say that in a, you know, in a room surrounded by excitable, yelling children and lots of other conversations, but she could just say, oh, this is how this week has been. And actually, she ended up bringing her family to some of our Christmas and Easter events, and her little toddler, who would come every Tuesday morning at the Christmas service when I was leading, came and sat next to me on the stage, just hanging out. And her mum at the end said, oh, it's because she's so comfortable here at the church. And that was an amazing thing, that she had a glimpse, I think, through what we were doing and through the care that we tried to show of Jesus, of actually his much, much bigger, amazing love and care for us. And yeah, I think that was a moment where it felt, oh, I think God is answering those prayers for us.
Helen, you've been involved in toddler groups in the past as a mum and now on the team. And I think there was something a bit different that you perhaps appreciated about the way that you and Anna set up Stay and Play together, and the things that were thought through and perhaps talked about beforehand. What did you notice? What did you think was really helpful? What are the things that you would say, oh, that was really great that we did that?
Yeah, I think Anna's already mentioned that, you know, the absolute heartbeat of Stay and Play is Jesus in everything we do. And so that meant that when we were putting together a programme, we were not just wanting that the story time to be the only part of the session where Jesus gets a mention, but that the whole session is planned around the story or the particular truth that we're teaching from God's word. And so that means that the craft session, what's going on the craft table, is themed around what the theme is for the session. We've got sensory play going on around that theme as well. And that then means that there are lots of opportunities to be talking about Jesus, talking about the Bible in everything that we're doing. I think the other thing, as well as Jesus being at the heart, the other thing we were wanting to do was build community. And not just that we were a nice place for people to come to, you know, we're nice people who will chat to you, but actually wanting to get to know people, to build relationships and to be praying for them. So one of the things that we do as a team is we have a smaller number of people who are booked on that each team member commits to praying for. And so those relationships are then being built up as well, where you think, well, I know I've got these four people who are ones that I've got a particular concern for. So I'm going to make sure I talk to them this week and find out how their week's been. And sometimes we've been able to get to the point as well of saying, what can we be praying for you this week? Because we are praying for you. And that seems to be really appreciated, to the point where sometimes we have people get in touch with us and say, this is happening, could you pray? And that feels like a real privilege that people will let us into their lives like that. And just a great opportunity, again, to be pointing people, like Anna said, to Jesus who cares for them. That, you know, we're praying not because that's what Christians do, but we're praying because we believe that God loves them and that he's powerful. So we will lift them to him in prayer.
Helen, you've just described something that sounds beautiful, sounds wonderful, sounds really well thought through, but perhaps now sounds a little bit like Premier League. Like perhaps you're like, you know, I don't know, Tesco's megastore with spreadsheets and plans, and perhaps we feel a little bit more corner shop. Tell me, describe to me, make it accessible. When I walk in the door to a session that is themed around Jesus in every part of the room, what's that actually look like? Pick a week. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about yesterday then.
Great.
Because we met yesterday. So when you arrive, you're met at the door. There's someone to welcome you at the door with a smile and a hello. And then once you've parked your pushchair in the back room and you've come on through, you come to the desk where you're greeted again by someone else. And as you register, and again, that's just an opportunity to check in and say hi. Children love coming with their pound coin to put in my little box and saying hello and picking up their stickers. So everyone has a name sticker each week, because again, that helps us to get to know people, and not everyone's so good at remembering names. So it's brilliant if you can address someone by name. And then
so far, I'm with you, Helen.
Right.
I've got a sticker. I'm in the room.
You're in the room. Now, as you look around the room, there are different zones with different sort of toys going on. But we've also got a craft table, which is staffed by one of our team, where you can do a craft that is themed on the week's Bible teaching. So yesterday, because we were doing the Last Supper, we were making bread.
Oh,
I say making bread. They were shaping dough into rolls, which we then baked in the kitchen during the session so that they could take their bread rolls home, which they had for lunch, because they were learning that Jesus had a special meal and the bread was to help them to remember what his death meant. We also had a sensory play area. We have one of those tough trays.
Oh, a tough tray. You've got to love them.
Yeah.
They're the plastic things with the big edges so stuff doesn't go flying.
That's right. I can't guarantee stuff won't go flying. It often does. Yesterday it did. Our sensory play yesterday was breadcrumbs with plastic wine glasses. So again, just fantastic play. But another opportunity to be saying, why have we got this today? Because each week people will come in and go, oh, what's the craft? What's the sensory play today? And then that's an opportunity to talk about the Bible story. So that happens for about 30 minutes or so. And then we have our story time in the middle of the session. And again, it goes to what Anna was saying about making it the heart of what we're doing. And having it in the middle of the session works really well, because people's departure times vary depending on when nap time is or whether the child's getting a little bit fractious or whatever. So in the middle of the session, that means that we can get everybody. We've still got everybody there. And we have a story from the Bible, and then we sing Christian song. and then we sing some nursery rhymes. And if it's someone's birthday, we have birthday bubbles as well.
I also love the idea of birthday bubbles not being like Prosecco and champagne. Anyway, sorry, carry on, Ed.
Anna, we've received an email. It says this: I'm setting up a toddler group in spring as I continue to settle into my church. I'm keen to grow a culture from the start that opens up opportunities for genuine community and creating ways for families to meet Jesus rather than just another childcare option. Is there any way you could help us think about this? Anna, you're here. Could you tell us, if someone was about to start a toddler group and they wanted to come to you to learn, and I recommend they do, just tell us something you'd be whispering in their ear and you'd be pointing out to them. Because I'm absolutely certain by the sound of it, it's just chaotic and chatty and fun, like every toddler group. Just tell us some of the things that are the unseen things, the deliberate things, the intentional things that you're trying to do to help people get that intentionality into a toddler group.
Yeah, so I think some of the big things are working out what kind of community that you want to be. So we talked really early on about the fact that, you know, we weren't going to have the most amazing toys. So I think not having broken toys is a good thing. We weren't going to have the most kind of comfortable chairs, the flashiest room. But what we could do is give people space to talk. And one of the big things that we did because of that is we worked out that we wanted to make sure we had as many Christians in the room as we could. Now, we couldn't do Christian mums in the room with toddler age children, but we could do Christian grandparents in the room. And because of that, we decided actually we wanted to make sure that for every 5-6 families who were non-Christians who were coming, there was at least one Christian person who could get to know them, who could look and say, these are the 6 families that I'm going to take time to pray for and chat with every week. And if they haven't come, these are the people I'm going to spot aren't there. And, you know, maybe message them or drop them an email or phone them or just kind of check in and say, we've not seen you for a couple of weeks. And I think for us, that was the really big thing. We could potentially have kind of grown and had loads more people and just sort of filled a room. But we knew that if we did that, we'd miss the thing that we really wanted to do, which was to give people opportunities for relationships with at least a Christian person in the room. So that I think for us was the really big thing that we worked out early on and stuck with and just kept doing.
I remember speaking to a dad who was involved in a toddler group, and he said they know the moment that their toddler group really took off and it felt like it had starting to work was when people were inviting other people back to their homes afterwards, when there were two families having a meal together, when it stopped being like, have you got a coffee? I'll go and get you a coffee. And it became, I know you and I'd love to get to know your whole family and I'd love you to come into my home. And that's going to vary for different people. It might just be as simple as we're going to meet in the park and push a swing together. But the point is you start to get numbers in your phones. And I think I can be honest that when I've run a dad's toddler group, you do actually have to talk men through what are the stages of getting to know someone. I suspect for most women, they don't need a step-by-step process. But if you get someone's number in your phone, it's a sign of friendship. If you drop the message the night before to say, I'll be there, will you come? It's another one. If you offer to meet them afterwards, don't be intimidated. This is great. Well done.
Can I just say that one of the best chatters on our team is a godly granddad who is just brilliant at getting alongside people and praying for them. He's even taken one of the dads out for breakfast. Oh. And it's because we actually have a growing number of dads coming to the group and granddads sometimes as well. So having men on your team is a real blessing.
There's something beautiful that you've just said about building teams. And I think that's the thing that can be so hard because we can feel short of volunteers. And wouldn't we love to give the toddlers in our community godly grandparents? We had a podcast a couple of episodes ago where we had our grandparenting inspirational heroes. And Ed, they gave us some amazing stats as well, didn't they? About it being the most, the age at which you're the most productive for the gospel was over 60. So there we go. And I think toddler groups are proving totally true. Totally true.
I love that we've received an email. You could send us one at podcast@faithinkids.org, which is where did that data come from? I love a data geek who wants to know, prove it.
We don't convince know, but we like it, so we're sticking with it. I think you tried to work it out from two facts. Anyway, other data points are available. But yes, building a team. Any other things you want to tell us about how to build a team?
Well, one of the things that we, again, started sort of doing, we didn't do it right at the start, but we did it fairly early on, was we started having a team lunch together once a term. So we do have the kind of, we do the setup as a team and, you know, pray together as a team, but it's always, you know, it's a busy morning. But once a term, we would stay and, you know, have lunch together and just chat and pray about how things are going. And that, I think, really helps just with giving people, giving everybody space to talk about what they're encouraged about and what they're finding hard. I think as well, working out different people's gifts and where they can serve. I remember there was, when we started, there was one woman who said she had the time to help, but just didn't really feel like she kind of had the gift for kind of like going around the room and chatting to lots of different people. So she said, Anna, is it, could I instead come and just do the kitchen every week? So I said, oh, that's great. That'd be wonderful. You know, working the kitchen takes huge amounts of like energy. And she was so, so, so brilliant at it. But actually, she wasn't just kind of stuck in the kitchen. She wasn't just the lady serving drinks because she was Liz, who would, you know, would remember what drinks people had and knew the names of the children, and the moms and the dads would take time to chat to her. And if she wasn't there for any reason, they'd say, you know, where's Liz today? And actually she thought she wasn't able to kind of be right at the heart of the group, but she really was.
If only the Liz's of this world could see themselves a little bit through my eyes, but even more through Jesus's. They're just so wonderful and just so instrumental. And if they could understand how they're a small part of a big picture of what God is doing. Tell me, Helen, tell me a story of what keeps you going, what lifts your heart. What are those moments that you think, yes, I'm going to keep going at Toddler Group?
Oh, there's so many, because it's an absolute joy each Tuesday morning. I think one of the highlights for me, and I know Anna says the same because we've talked about this before, was that when we first started, the trying to get everybody together for story time was initially a little bit of a challenge. Because we do it in the middle, it means the toys are still out, and so there's a lot of distraction for the children. But we would clear a space, put some rugs down, and play the hello song to try and gather everyone together. And I think it was the week when we started putting the rugs down and there were children standing ready to jump on the rugs as soon as we'd put them down, to sit down because they knew it was story time and it was something they were looking forward to. That was the week when we thought, ah, this is starting to work now. The expectation is that we're going to talk about Jesus. And every week it fills my heart with joy when those children are getting in my way as I'm trying to put the rugs down, because because they're ready. They want to gather together. They want to hear what whoever's telling the story has got to say.
Look, Helen and Anna, this is thrilling. This is thrilling. And the energy, the enthusiasm, the effort you're putting in, the team you're building, the prayers you're praying. You've told us a lot about what you're trying to do. Just, will you just fire us out some tips? And maybe if you were to give us six tips, it might be one or two that someone listening whose group is not as vibrant as yours just think, I could do that one. So go on, give us a whole bundle so that all of us get to just work on one thing. Anna, you start. Give us a tip.
Oh, pray lots. Pray before.
Oh, we can all do that one.
Yeah. Pray before you start every week. Pray in the week for people. Like any ministry, you know, it just doesn't work if we try and do it alone. But God can do anything. He can change anybody's hearts at any time. So pray and keep praying.
And pray and love the people that are coming. I think that's the key thing. Whether you are putting on sort of really creative stuff or not, actually the thing that matters is that you're loving the families that come along, taking the time to get to know them, to build those relationships. And then, you know, the creative side of things, that is a bonus that comes on top of that. And that's what Google's for, I think.
Yes, Helen.
Pinterest, Instagram, look and see what other groups are doing. Look and see what other people who are putting out stuff about working with children. That's where the creative stuff comes from. I'm very good at pinching other people's ideas.
And we can pinch yours, Helen. We can follow Stay and Play Buxton on Instagram and pinch every sensory play activity you've got. I just want to ask for, carry on with your tips, but I just want to ask for the mum that is shouting at the podcast right now, because I can hear her, where do you get your ideas from and where do you get your material from? Carry on with your tips and make sure you answer that one as well. Anna, carry on.
Well, so another tip I think would be keep talking about Jesus. So in all the things we said already, you know, in story time, in craft, in other activity, but also keep finding ways to talk about Jesus in little moments. So in the little conversations, one thing that we started saying quite early on was when the parents said, oh, these cakes are amazing. Where did you get them from? Just being able to say, oh, one of the teenage boys from our church family made those cakes for you was an amazing, just a little way of showing them a glimpse of the kind of the whole like community of people that are behind a toddler group, that who aren't there on a Tuesday morning but who are praying and who are caring in ways that are unseen and that just show Jesus's love in different ways as well.
In terms of resources, I'll do a plug for Faith in Kids, who we use their toddler group material, which is great because it's very much written for that sort of environment, the toddler group environment. A lot of material that's available for that age of child is often more for a Sunday school setting. So you can find that. You just need to tweak it a bit because obviously you're in a different group where you've not got a small number of children who are sat listening to you. It's a little bit more chaotic and you've got all the adults in as well. So yeah, the Faith in Kids stuff is brilliant. But like I said before, just Googling ideas on for activities is good as well. Working through the Beginner's Bible or another toddler Bible, that sort of thing. The key thing is just to make it really simple and really visual. So that for the children, they're engaging their level. The challenge is also that you're talking to the parents and the carers as well. And yeah, trying to draw them in. But hopefully, if you're doing a good job of engaging the children, the parents should be engaged as well, because they're there with their children and watching.
I think another one would be about not trying to do it on your own. So obviously, you know, prep, but also it might be that you don't have a whole team of people around you. Maybe you're one person in a church family with a heart for children and toddlers and families, and you're looking around thinking, I haven't got a team of four or five people. Could you find just one person who can pray with you and maybe join you and start from there, and then keep talking about what you're doing to the rest of the church family? We found if we show photos and, you know, and talk about what we're doing, other people will start kind of going, oh, I didn't know that's what it was like. Oh, okay, I could maybe come and kind of, could I come and see what it's like on a Tuesday morning? But yeah, I think all of us, you know, when you're scraping Play-Doh out of the carpet yet again, having others who can help you with that is a good thing. And whether it's people who can just come and help set up or help tidy up, there are loads of different ways people can get involved.
Anna, tell us about the challenges that you can face. Give us a story if you can. Tell me that it's not always skipping through the sunshine with a toddler's hand in yours.
It definitely isn't always that, not least in Buxton, where it always rains. I think one of the big challenges is working out next steps for people. So people will come every week to a toddler group, which is amazing. And, you know, they get little glimpses into church life. But working out what's the thing that we could take them, that we could invite them to, that we could connect them up after coming to a toddler group. We did some family fun days on a Saturday with the hope that, you know, that the parent and toddler would come, but actually the rest of the family would come. And we did have that. And actually that is an amazing thing when, you know, walking through the back of the church, you see the mum and the toddler that you know, but also the son that she's told you about and the partner who she's mentioned, and just be able to kind of start making those connections. And actually that means on a Tuesday morning, that son or that partner isn't just a kind of a name that you've got in your head. It's a person that you've met and have talked to. And that makes them, that is, a, you know, it's a challenge, but it's an amazing thing as well.
I think, Helen, the majority of leaders are just finding it very hard grind. And they're not seeing the progress. And the two of you have done brilliantly to model enthusiasm and energy. Helen, just if I presented you with five exhausted women who just don't have the teams they wish they had, just give us one word for them.
I think that the thing we need to remember with Toddler Group Ministry, as probably with all ministry, is that we need to have the long view, that we are serving how we can and where we can at this particular time. We're sowing seeds. We don't know what the Lord's going to do with that in the long term. You know, we're a part of that story in someone's lives, but we might not get to see the end of that story. We may not see people come to faith, but we've played a role and the Lord is still writing their story. So I think that's the encouragement, is that as much fun as toddler groups are, and I absolutely love it and get so much joy from it, the greatest joy would be to see people come and put their faith in Jesus. But, you know, at the moment, we only have people for a small period of time, unless they keep producing children. Then, you know, 3 years is in how long it takes for someone to come to faith. That it may take longer than that. So press on, I think, is the encouragement. Press on. The work that we do in toddler groups is significant, even though we might not see the full outcome of that in our time with these folk.
Helen, it's so true. It can be so hard to keep going. Just a couple of weeks ago, I went to an exercise class, a women's exercise class. Shocking, I know. There was a mom there who I was looking at. I was thinking, she looks familiar. Oh, she looks familiar. But anyway, can't place. I don't think I know her. Anyway, as the group went on, she sort of sidled over to me and then said, "I know your face," to me. And we ended up having the chat. Anyway, it turns out she came to the toddler group 13 years ago at the church we were at the time. And she could name the leaders in the group. She could say what we all did. She remembered the cakes that people made. She told me the story of not realising at the time what unusual care that was. So as a parent now of a 15-year-old, she was saying, I expected that was, you know, I arrived with a vulnerable mum. People loved me. They wanted good for me. They talked to me. They held my baby. They gave me cake. They loved me. And I expected that to be the journey through parenting. And it's only now that I look back that I realise quite how rare that care was. Now, this should be the moment where I tell you the wonderful story of how we then prayed together and she trusted Jesus in that moment. Of course, that's not the story, but the story isn't finished. But I don't know what the outcome will be, but I do know that that lady and that family have been given a taste of who Jesus is and what his people were like. And it's a good one. And I can trust the Lord with the rest. And that is, to me, what Toddler Group is for. Ed, go on.
I'm really grateful for Helen and Anna bringing the energy, bringing the inspiration. I continue to know people who have come to faith through toddler groups. My particular personal favourite is that we have a member of the team called Alex. His wife's mother came to faith at a toddler group. His wife's mother would say that Alex's wife is a Christian now because of a toddler group and the work done in her life. So I like to think that there are now three generations, because Alex now has three children. There are three generations of people who are knowing the goodness of God because someone took a moment, probably took years, to love Alex's mother-in-law. So I am an absolute firm believer that in toddler groups, in front of us, we see generations and we see the impact Christ can have. And I really want to encourage those thousands of people who are just hulking plastic toys around and hoovering endlessly and hanging around late afterwards, that there will be an eternity where we understand the impact we've had. Faith in Kids wants to support toddler groups We're going to put a link in the show notes just to the resources on our webpage. There's just two particularly to mention. One is three series of toddler group stories, God Cares, God Makes, God Saves. That is probably our most popular resource we've ever produced. It hides in a corner on our website, and it's just three terms of stories for toddler groups. It's very simple, but it's trying to make big actions. We're trying to encourage people to leave the script at home and just to hold up a big prop and to have fun. And then there's another resource called Junior Jivers, which is just the beginnings of how you would run a group that was just about music. And maybe people book on for a term. And the particular breakthrough we have seen with that is that if people are booking on and there's a sense of a course and there's someone in charge, then perhaps that's one way of getting them to be more committed so friendships can be really deliberately built. We leave those resources to you. May God bless them, but may God bless your toddler group. Anna, I wonder if you could just pray for those toddler groups that might be listening into this.
Absolutely. Father God, we thank you so much for your amazing heart for your people. Thank you for the amazing work that you are doing to grow your people, to draw more and more people into your community. Lord, thank you for the toddler groups up and down this country that are playing their part in that, that are opening their doors in the mornings when it's cold and wet, that are welcoming families to come, that are sharing Jesus with them, that are showing Jesus in the relationships that they have. Lord, when on the days when it's hard, when we're scraping food out the floor and clearing up boxes, Lord, please encourage us again with that vision of the fact that you are growing your people and that there is nothing that will stop that. Lord, help us to look forward to the day when there will be so many faces in the new creation that we weren't even expecting who came through toddler groups. Father, please spur us on the times when it's hard. Encourage us on the days when we're having a great time. And Lord, keep us praying faithfully for all the work that you're doing in the lives and hearts of so many people who don't yet know you. Amen.
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 Thank you so much for listening. Email us at podcasts@faithinkids.org. Tell us your toddler group stories. Tell us your questions. We'd love to hear from you. It's been lovely to have you. It's been amazing to have Helen and Anna. Thank you so much. Say enthusiastic and creative goodbye.
This is the cleanup song. We're putting things away.
We had the clean up, clean up, everybody everywhere. Clean up, clean up, everybody do your share. Did you not have that one? No.
See the little bunny sleeping till it's nearly noon. Shall we try and wake them with our merry tune?
Oh, okay. How still.
Okay, we can press stop now. Bye-bye.